God!
Yeah, man, I can't go outside without screaming, I'm melting, I'm melting!
Oh, that's weird. Don't do that.
Yeah, I get a lot of strange looks. It gets even worse when I really start melting. And welcome to week 718 of the Crankcast. Hi. Yeah.
Hi.
Right then. So, to start us off.
Yeah.
I read volume 3 of The Escapist, which I think, according to the book, was issues 5 and 6 when it came out.
The comic book?
Yeah. Mm. It was one of those ones I got in a, like, a lot that were cheap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I actually realized I was buying volume 3 instead of one of the other volumes, but since it's an anthology, I don't think it makes much difference.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's not bad. I never read it back when it came out. That was like 2005, I think. 4 or 5. It's got a lot of talent in it.
A lot of talent.
And this particular volume had Will Eisner's last thing before he died.
God, he worked on that. That's crazy.
Yeah, he did a Spirit Escapist crossover story. But yeah, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Although, I don't know, are people still doing this? Remember how it was a thing, especially like towards the mid-2000s, where everybody was taking regular-sized comic material and then for the collected editions, printing it out like it was manga-sized? Like, digest-sized?
Oh, yeah. They mostly stopped doing that.
Because I remember that being a big thing right around that time period.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know if it was just I guess it was a combination.
I think they thought they would trick the people that were into manga into buying it.
I think it was part that, and it was part like a cost-saving thing, wasn't it?
I don't know how much cheaper it was to do that.
Huh. I remember Josh being real big on that. All of our regular-sized stuff, he was printing out as like little digest books and stuff, and it... You know, I mean, that's mostly fine when stuff's set up for that, or if the line works different. Like, black and white stuff seems to translate better. Mm-hmm. But, man, a lot of that color stuff, when it just gets shrunk down, like, for one thing, the colors just seem to get kind of funny.
They did that with Runaways.
They did do that with Runaways, and then they ended up printing it regular size.
Yeah, Marvel did that with, what was Sean's book? Spider-Man, or Mary Jane Loves Spider-Man?
Yeah.
They did. I think anything they thought would appeal to a teen...
They did it with our Marvel Adventures, too.
Yeah, I think anything they thought would appeal to a teen, they shrunk down.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, this is the same size as, you know, Japanese stuff. It must be the same stuff, right?
Do you really like, though... I got, like, some older X-Men stuff, like 80s X-Men stuff, and it's in black and white, and it's smaller, that size.
Is that like the reprints where it's, you said it's just the black and white, like the line art?
Yeah, it's just the line art.
Yeah, I think that stuff translates better to resizing, or to, at least to downsizing. Because, I mean, you know, you look at a lot of just the black and white manga and stuff, and that's, you know, that scales down pretty fine most of the time.
Scaled down pretty fine.
Pretty much.
Scaled down pretty fine.
You sound like a dragon using a pickup line in a dragon bar.
Whoa.
What?
That was not good.
Alright.
That was a not good.
But anyway, it does make me curious to pick up the other Escapist stuff despite the diminished size, because I'd like to see who else worked on it and that. It was kind of fun. And then I moved into this. I started reading this typography workbook, and it's so freaking dense. Because it's like, you know, I mean, it's a textbook, an instructional thing. But it's like kind of like a weird jump to go from one thing to the other like that. And I feel like it's going to take me forever. It's strange in this book, in this typography book, that one of the first early parts of the book tell you, like, you know, optimal reading size for print text and stuff like that is somewhere between, like, what did it say, like 9 and 10 point, I think, which is more or less what I've always been told anyway for like long passages of text in it. But almost all this seems like it's printed in like 6-point type, you know, and they're packing so much per page. It's like my eyes keep stumbling back over the lines and starting over again and stuff. I'm like, ugh. For people who are setting up a book about print, this isn't like, doesn't seem like it's set up very well. A lot of information in it though. I mean, I'm only like 25 pages in and it's covered a whole ton of shit. Oh, and I'm also reading another, what's her name? You know, Jane Austen book.
What? Really?
This is the third one I've read now, because I read Pride and Prejudice and, what's the other one? Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility. So now I'm on Mansfield Park. And, again, you know, I mean, I've talked before about how it's like reading, basically it's about reading like a foreign language, a foreign country or something like that, because, I mean, just the language is so different, and the what people considered normal and the things that were just day-to-day stuff back then is so different from now,
mm-hmm.
that it's just strange, right? But even at that, like, I'm trying to figure out why these have remained such popular books with people. Because
do they though?
Yeah, man, there's like swaths of people that just love Jane Austen. You know, I guess it's for the romance.
I guess I'm not familiar with those people.
Yeah, there's like, I mean, I see it come up in like articles, like referenced in articles about other things. Like, just the other day, I read an article that was talking about Jane Austen's plan for healthy living or something like that. They were trying to tie in Jane Austen to, like, you know, being healthy. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Because mostly what she just talks about is people having a good complexion or getting out for a walk or something. You know, like. But, just, like, the stuff that's in this book, I'm like, for one thing, if this is an accurate portrayal of life, I mean, it's no wonder to see how a deep-seated, like, resentment of the upper class was formed, you know? Because these people are mostly, like, not good people, just completely concerned with themselves. Like, in this book, Mansfield Park, it's at least implied that, you know, a good portion of, or, you know, a portion of this family's wealth is derived from slave trading.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, they don't come out and directly say it, but at one point, like, they mention the father's away on a business trip to Antigua, and he comes back, and somebody asks how the slave trade's going.
Oh, no!
And so I'm like...
I did not know that!
I'm like, well, okay, so these people are obviously at least getting some of their money from, you know, selling other people.
Wow. So, I did not know that.
I think that gets glossed over. People just don't want to, you know, think about the bad parts of it. It's like me and Lovecraft, you know, which I understand, like, how people who like something can kind of gloss over the bad parts, but it's just weird.
Lovecraft,
like,
though, it's so ingrained into the text. It's, like, literally about the fear of the other type of people.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Jane Austen's not, like, a direct attack on people of color or anything, but it's definitely, like, something where I'm questioning why it's remained as popular as it has because of different aspects of it. Like,
I think it's, you know, early books that depicted women as being more than just wives.
But they're not. Their entire goal in Jane Austen books is to get married. And
right, but they have their own...
Acquire wealth through marriage, you know?
They have their... Yeah, but that's of the time. They still have their own agency that I think a lot of women in other books didn't have yet.
I guess. I haven't read a lot of other books in the time period, so... It's just, like, but the motivations of the characters are generally, like, concerned with... I mean, their problems seem so damn trivial, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody's sort of, like, covertly at each other's throats? Or at least so concerned...
It's like a soap opera.
It is. It's a lot like a soap opera, yeah.
Maybe it's the first soap opera.
But do you admire... Okay, so that's a different thought. Because, I've watched soap operas, and there was a time when I was a kid when I actually liked a few of them. But do you actually admire people in soap operas?
I don't know.
Because I can't think of...
Query unknown, Captain.
I don't remember too many, like, real good people, good guys in soap operas, you know? Like, there were the people who were obviously supposed to be the heroes, but even their qualities weren't really well-defined as being good. They were just the people you were rooting for. It's kind of like watching wrestling, where it's like... No, wrestling's even more clear than that, because you got heels and heroes and that, you know?
Yeah, but they turn on a dime.
Yeah. There is a lot of that, but I mean, at least at whatever time you're watching them, it's pretty clear who's good and who's bad. Mm-hmm. But maybe that says something for soap opera's nuance. I don't know. But anyway, so I just finished, you know, in the first volume of Mansfield Park, so I'm in the second volume. It's just sort of weird, like. It's sort of like I'm imagining. When I try to imagine what it would be like to be a millionaire, and I can't really quite do it beyond just, hey, I've got a lot of money, you know? It's a lot like that, or like trying to imagine just being brought up in another country or something, even, you know? Something simple or more prosaic as that. And the language is weird, because they do, like, they spell choose as C-H-U-S-E. Like you're saying choose?
What? Really?
Yeah. And just even structure and phrasing was different back then.
Huh. Weird.
And it's not like you expect. Well, yeah, I mean, it is a long time ago, so you know, you expect a language to drift. But because I remember being a kid and trying to read Shakespeare and muddling my way through some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I mean, Shakespeare stuff's purposely double meanings and lots of, you know, kind of obscure references of the time period thrown in and stuff like that. But so, you know, that's going to be harder to read anyway because you have to kind of decode it as opposed to just interpret it or whatever. But yeah, that's just weird, man. Or like the first time I tried to read like the Iliad or the Odyssey, even like, you know, when it was translated from non-verse, you know, just kind of the concepts were sort of strange. The verse one was really hard to read though.
Which one do they make you... they don't really make you... Who makes you read it at school?
I never had to...
I don't think anybody makes you read the Iliad in school.
Probably if you're taking a classics class in college or something, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I read it because I was curious. Or, I tried to read the verse version first. And I tried to read it just because I was curious because the story sounded neat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like in high school, all we had to read was stuff like... I don't even think they made us read Catcher in the Rye by the time I was in high school.
I own a copy of Catcher in the Rye, so I know somebody tried to make me read it.
I own my...
I never read it.
I haven't
so
either.
I don't know how I got out of that one.
I own my mom's copy that she had from when she was in school. I'm trying to remember, though. I think we actually had to read The Outsiders once in school, when I was still in grade school. And we read... To Kill a Mockingbird, like, stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't know. Of course, I mean, I only spent 2 years of high school in, like, a regular high school anyway. I went to a trade school for the last half. And they didn't really concern themselves very much with, like, you know, English education or anything like that at that point. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, educating us in the finer points of literature, I guess. But anyway, so... I don't know. I'm just trying to read stuff that I've never read before, but, you know, still considered classic. Whatever. I got Othello in the queue somewhere, and I've been putting that one off for a while. But I always kind of liked the story of Othello. It seemed weirdly weird. Tragic.
Well, it's a much more, what do you call it?
Ironic, even.
I would say it's a much more masculine story.
As opposed to... Oh, like...
Well, I mean, it's all about the guy thinking he's above everything, right?
Well, in part, I mean... He's, There's, like, a weird twist in there where there's, like, a love triangle-y kind of thing, and then, you know, people intentionally deceiving other people and causing bad things to happen. And part of it's like Othello's a stern character, but he kind of has to be because he's disregarded a lot of times because he's a mixed race. And at least that's, you know, the gist of it I get from synopsis and stuff. But...
Seems very Shakespearean.
Mm, it does.
Odd. But yeah, anyway. So... What have you been reading?
I haven't read anything because I'm a fucking moron.
Ah, you're busy.
I mean, I'm dumb.
Were you did you read when you were a kid?
I read a lot when I was a kid.
Were you like a fantasy sci-fi person?
Sure. I was a pretty much anything person.
So like, you read like Danielle Steele and stuff?
I didn't read Danielle Steele.
Or
I don't think Danielle Steele was marketed towards me. No.
Or what were those other ones that were big when we were like John Mitchum or whatever?
Read some Earl of Stephen King.
Oh, okay, sure.
Read a lot of Dean Koontz.
Oh yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah, that's right.
Read a lot of those Zamp books.
Oh yeah. Aspirin?
No.
Oh no, that was Jordan. No.
Robert Jordan was a Wheel of Time.
Right. Pierce Anthony.
Pierce Anthony, yeah.
Right. Aspirin was the one that did the myth pun title books.
Yeah, but Pierce Anthony wasn't that far off from that.
Yeah.
I could see how you might get those mixed up.
I don't know that I've read other stuff by Aspirin, but like Pierce Anthony at least had like other stuff that wasn't funny too, though.
He did.
The incarnations
of a couple of series of stuff.
Yeah, like the incarnations of immortality stuff, and he had some just straight sci-fi stuff too.
Yeah.
That I can't remember the series of.
His were the first books where I realized that this isn't like just comedy isn't something you just see on TV. You can write a book about it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Did you read like the Terry Brooks stuff?
No, I never did. I didn't read him or it was the Hitchhiker's Guide guy.
Oh, Douglas Adams?
I never read Douglas Adams.
Actually, you might like Douglas Adams. I mean, because it's funny.
Began reading Hitchhiker's Guide, and it was definitely in my wheelhouse, but
you should.
I just never got around. I think it's one of those things like Sandman, where I'm just more annoyed by the people that love it than I feel like I would like that book, but I just don't want to deal with it because people that are into it are way into it, and I don't ever want to have to get into a conversation with them.
I understand that. I based a lot of decisions on similar logic.
Do you ever read a Jason Stryker, Master of Martial Arts and Ninja's Revenge?
No, what is that?
By Pierce Anthony.
Oh, man, I will now. I'm going to start reading again.
He wrote, like, action books? Like, ninja books?
Yeah, it's like him and another guy.
Jason Stryker?
Yeah, he's got another book, The Bamboo Bloodbath.
Oh, yes!
It's number 3 in a violent new series here. Featuring Jason Stryker, Master of Martial Arts.
Wow. How'd that not become a movie?
Volume 2, Mistress of Death.
Alright.
Volume 1, Jason Stryker, Master of Martial Arts. Kiai! That's the title.
Kiai?
I wonder if they're serious or if they're comedies.
It's hard to say with him, right?
Right. I mean, because that could go either way, right? I mean, it could be like a They Call Me Bruce kind of thing or something.
This fucking cover.
That's crazy.
I'm picturing like a Robert
McGinnis. So that had to be before the Zant stuff, right? Because that looks like an old, old book.
Yeah, I'm picturing like a Robert McGinnis cover or something. Like,
it is kind of, yeah, it is kind of like that. His entire body is a finely honed weapon capable of destroying even the most skilled antagonist.
So this is 70s.
The Stryker was a man of peace.
Because this is the 70s. This is what the 70s was about.
Is dedicated to defense, not aggression.
Yeah.
Huh. How many books of these were there?
No rules, no fouls called, no techniques forbidden.
No double elimination tournament?
If the men should die.
They die.
Well, they go
That's
to
what Drago said.
They go to Nicaragua to do this tournament.
So this is Enter the Dragon in South America.
Holy moly, he...
$3 on Kindle.
In 2 years, he pumped out 6 of these books.
Well, it can't be that hard just to describe a fight for 20-something pages, probably.
But that's, like, weird, man.
Yeah.
And the last book was published the year before the first Xanth book came out.
Wow.
He probably needed a change of pace. I didn't realize. See, I'm looking at a list now of just books he's published, and they're sorted by series and then publication order. My God, man, he is prolific.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, he goes to the Amazon. It's called Amazon Slaughter.
Amazon Slaughter? No.
The Bamboo Bloodbath, though, that's a great title.
Bamboo Bloodbath. Oh, he's still writing.
Yeah, I saw there's an interesting This American Life story about him. There's this kid that ran away from home, and he loved those books so much that he made his way to Florida to live with Pierce Anthony.
Oh yeah, that was a good story.
Yeah.
He had 2 books come out this year so far. Or at least scheduled for this year. Including a new Xanth book.
What? New Xanth?
New Xanth's been published all through the aughts and the 2010s.
I wonder if there's a website dedicated to the many ways that Pierce Anthony described women's breasts in the Xanth books.
Probably.
Have you been to my website, News Anthony?
News Anthony?
It's all news about Pierce Anthony.
Okay, in the 90s, there was a Xanth book called Zombie Lover.
Yeah, it was.
Sounds like he's mixing some of his old pulp stuff into his fantasy there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's a clever one. Stork Naked? Oh, these titles. Anyway. So, I'm trying to think. There's like, is he a bad guy? He's not a bad guy, is he?
Who?
Pierce Anthony.
Oh, doesn't sound like it.
Like,
I don't know.
I mean, obviously he's into sexual double entendre, but.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's nothing like. I should dislike him about him politically or personally, right? Like,
I don't know. I'm sure his stories would be considered dated today, but they're just silly.
Yeah. I never felt like they were being mean to anything.
No, they're not mean. They're funny.
It's just, in light of information always coming out, it seems with more frequency lately, it's hard to tell whether somebody you like, you should like or not. You know?
Everybody's terrible.
Well, yeah, but some people are more terrible than others. Anyway. So if you didn't like the Douglas Adams stuff, you probably didn't care much for Terry Pratchett either, did you?
Well, you just asked me that. I said no. It wasn't that I didn't like it. I just wasn't into it. I never really made myself get into it.
Did I ask you about Terry Pratchett?
That was the first one you asked.
No, the first one I asked was somebody else. Robert Asprin was the first one. Anyway. Well, all right. There's our, whatchamacallit, Book Nook. Our prose conversation corner. Or something like that. What else is new? Oh, so I guess this happened since the last time we talked, right? DC's shut down Mad Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of humor in print. Which, I mean, to be honest, I haven't bought a Mad Magazine in a long time. I know a lot of people still were, but...
Yeah.
Mad Magazine, you know, I read it a lot when I was a kid. I loved it because it was, you know... It always had, like, pop culture stuff in it, or current culture stuff in it. Plus, Spy vs. Spy was fun. And the fold-over covers. Those were neat, too.
Yep. There's tons. I mean, I think... I don't know many people that didn't read it growing up, except for my wife.
Huh. I think... I'm trying to remember. The first time I read it was... Somebody had given my dad a box of them to take home. Like, I guess for me, or maybe for him. I don't know. But he brought it home and left it in the dining room, and I started going through it, reading them. And they were older ones at the time. This was... early 80s, so these were like 70s ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird and fun, you know, like. And then I started buying new ones on the stands. I remember buying like the Raiders of the Lost Ark one and just cracking up at the cover, like. And reading stuff like that got me into like Wacky Packages trading cards and Garbage Pail Kids and stuff like that, you know. Because in my kid mind, that was all sort of the same humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I think those are all pretty much related.
But they, yeah, so, I mean, Mad had a good storied run, and sad to see it go, because it was sort of an institution, but, I mean, it did good in the time it was here.
I would have loved to have done something in it, but I'd always forgotten about that. It just seemed like something that would never happen.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I wasn't even sure they were still in print. I thought they went, like, the cracked mode and went, like, just online or whatever.
All right, I keep forgetting Cracked had, like, a lot of internet content, too, and they got rid of a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't even know if Cracked is still putting new material out online anymore. That was their, like, stopgap from when they stopped printing, I remember. But seems like DC's consolidating, I guess. I mean, Canon and Vertigo and Mad. I guess they're trying to...
It's the wild, wild west in entertainment right now. A lot of old people are scared.
Well, that maybe they're just trying to consolidate under one single brand. Like, they feel like they might confuse people by actually defining...
It's just going to be the same problem in a different costume.
Yeah.
Well, you got 7,000 streaming services.
Well, on top of that, I mean, the problem is you put everything under one brand. I mean, the reason things like Vertigo got started to begin with is because Vertigo published different stuff than DC would, you know? I mean, you wouldn't have... I doubt you would have really seen, like, you know, Metropolitan or something. Not Metropolitan, that wasn't under Vertigo, was it? What was the one with Trans-Metropolitan? Yeah, like, I doubt you would have seen that under 90s regular DC imprint, you know? Or they would have had to, like, badge it, like, DC Mature or something, you know? Like, but either way, they still would have had to badge it something else. Like, or Kill Your Boyfriend, or like, any of that 90s Vertigo stuff, you know? And the same thing with, like, well, I mean, it's not like they haven't done away with imprints before. Remember, like, the DC Helix line? Which I don't even remember what titles were under the Helix stuff. It was like Vertigo, though. It was weird, edgy stuff, I remember. Like, Cyberella was one of the DC Helix ones, I think, if I remember right.
Hmm.
I guess the Helix line was supposed to be more sci-fi?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Was it, I just can't remember anything else that was on the imprint off the top of my head, but... But, like, you know, I mean, that didn't last long, though. That was a few years in the 90s, I think, maybe early 2000s. And then, mm-hmm. then it was gone.
I actually think the new divisions make a lot of sense.
What all are they doing now?
So, it's Black Label, which is, like, a older 17-plus kind of, like, you know, nudity, swearing, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
They're Max.
Yeah, then a normal line, which is just DC... comics, which is considered to be like 13 plus, like a PG-13 rating, but I'm guessing it's meant for everyone, but I think their books tilt older anyway, in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then DC, I don't know if it's called DC Kids or what it's called, but it's just their younger readers line, which they had like three different versions of before. Now it's just like one thing.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Sandman is his own universe too.
Yeah, but that's still a DC Comics.
DC?
It's just DC Comics, Sandman universe. So in each of those things, there's different stuff, but it's very clearly three different divisions of readership.
But essentially, they just condensed it down into three age brackets.
Yes.
Instead of concepts or whatever. Because, like, I mean, I was always under the impression, like, with labels like Epic and Vertigo and stuff like that, that they were not only, like, for older readers, but they were also, like, different concepts from what the main line would have, you know?
Yeah.
You'd be dealing with more, like, just regular crime violence books and stuff like that. You know, just stuff like that wouldn't be in the, because the main line would be superheroes, right? Like, pretty much.
I think it makes it a lot easier, though, for, like, libraries and bookstores to know who they're ordering for.
Oh, yeah, definitely sounds like it would simplify for that.
Because if you had all these other lines, you don't necessarily know what it means.
I don't think Black Label's a very descriptive title either, though.
Sure.
I think it denotes prestige.
Yeah, it does.
Well, the first thing I thought when you said it was a bottle of liquor, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, that would imply for older people, wouldn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
I think Young Animal is part of Black Label by now.
So Black Label just sort of absorbed all the... I guess all the other... No? I mean, because some of that... I don't even know anymore. Was Young Animal was, what was the one that when they DC got like they didn't own the titles but the creators owned them, but they were, DC was publishing them and they had lumped them all under like another imprint.
I don't know. I think they still do some of that. I don't know what they are.
Like this one came out.
Vertigo was still letting people own their stuff.
Oh right, yeah, they were, weren't they? That's just confusing. But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's not like this stuff's not going to change again in another 5 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or 10 years or whatever. It's just kind of interesting to talk about when it happens. Because it's new. Which is partly probably why they do stuff. Switch it up and get people, like, you know, having conversations about it.
Could be!
Yeah. What else has happened since the last time?
Nothing! Absolutely nothing has happened! All I do is work and stress out and cry.
Oh, hey, how was your 4th? Did you get a boat?
I didn't get a boat.
Oh.
I grilled a lot of meat. More meat than I should have for people that... only two people.
I was going to ask if you were having a party or something like that.
Well, I mean, I guess I could have asked people to come over, but I didn't.
I mean, you had all that meat.
Yeah.
So much meat.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I think about asking people to come over, and then I'm like, nah. I don't like someone to come over here, and I'm just kind of blah.
Right.
So,
how was the meat?
Good.
Oh, good, good. Speaking of meat.
Sorry, back to comics. Did you guys see Gene Yang's new Superman books? Superman Smashes the Klan?
What?
No.
It's just going to be a fucking Klan book.
Wow. That's like an old Fleischer thing.
You're just beating a Nazi.
So is that official?
Yeah.
I like that.
That's impressive. DC's actually taking a definite stance against the KKK.
oh, like they've done 1,000 times in the past? Like, they, like this is... The funny thing is that it's going to seem, like, political these days. That's the ridiculous thing.
That seems like a big deal right now, though.
I know. That's the thing. That's the sad part.
No, I mean, it seems like a big deal that they would actually be willing to go ahead and take a definite stance on something, you know?
I bet, yeah. Like, I'm saying that it's probably not hard to do a Google search of an old Superman cover where he's punching out a Klansman or a Nazi.
Yeah, but that would have been, like, decades ago, you know?
It shouldn't matter, is what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying the current DC seems to have fallen into a corporate kind of complacency where they sort of toe the lines.
Yeah, most corporations do, yeah.
So for them to actually make an actual statement on something is, like, kind of seems like a big deal.
And I'm saying that's sad.
Right. I mean, it is. They shouldn't have to. It should just sort of be acknowledged, but...
The shot looks like Superman's dick broke this kid's bat.
What?
This kid swung a bat at Superman, and it looks like he hit him in the dick and broke his own bat.
It does look like it was slammed at Superman's dick. I cannot handle that S curl. That's not even an S curl. That's like... What is going on with Superman's hair there? He looks like Ed Brimley. So yeah, I'm all about it. He just writes. He doesn't draw, does he?
Gene Yang?
Yeah.
He does draw, but he's not drawing this one.
Who's drawing that one? You still there, Craig?
Yeah, I'm looking up past instances where Superman fought the KKK.
Oh, you're trying to prove me wrong.
No, I'm just looking it up to see what it was. It looks like he did it back in the 40s.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
This is inspired by a 40s radio serial.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading about. It was a 16-episode series where he pits Superman against the KKK.
Those were the bad guys in the 40s. They didn't have, why did they not have more, like, supervillains in the 40s? Oh, it's because they actually had real bad guys.
Well, they had, like, the Mole Man and stuff. Which, I mean, granted, weren't exactly terribly exciting bad guys.
That's the crazy thing about those Superman shows, that it was always, like, gangsters. He fought gangsters all the time. And I get it. The black and white TV show with, like, cardboard sets, but...
Well, early...
If they can pretend that Superman has powers, they can pretend that some bad guy has powers, too.
Early superheroes really didn't have supervillains, right? At all?
No.
I mean, because Batman just fought gangsters and shit, too.
Yup. Yorb.
I'm trying to... When was the first actual supervillain?
Yeah, who created the first supervillain?
I guess Lex Luthor, but he wasn't around right away either, though, right? He wasn't until...
I think he was.
He was still like an industrialist.
Right.
Was the Joker the first supervillain? There has to be somebody other than like DC that did it.
Well, let's look it up. What was the first supervillain in comics? Apparently, let's see. Apparently the first supervillain was the Phantom Blot.
Okay.
These are all in 1939. It was the Phantom Blot, something called the Ultra Humanite.
Oh, Ultra Humanite. That's a DC character.
It was that was in Action Comics number 13. Dr. Death. Who was in Detective Comics 29. The Monk, who was in Detective Comics 31, and The Claw, who was in something called Silver Streak Comics.
The Claw!
So those were apparently, apparently the first. The Joker didn't appear until 1940.
You can't defeat The Claw!
Lex Luthor didn't actually appear until 1940 either.
Don't try. It's no use. You can't fight The Claw!
Well, that's true, because every time I tried to use a claw, I can never grab those things and get them to drop in the box to win the prize. They're terrible. I am just batting zero today. So, yeah, and I guess the pretty much in the 40s is when most of the super villains that we kind of know now seem to have shown up. Across that decade, anyway. I mean, that's when, like, Riddler and Cheetah and stuff like Mr. Mitz Pitlick. Mix a Pitlick. It's a Pitlick, yeah.
Mrs. Pitlick.
Mrs. Pitlick?
Mixes Pitlick.
Mixes Miggle, Miggles, Biggle.
Mixes Pitlick.
Huh. Brainiac didn't show up until 1958. Oh, and then there was a Yellow Claw in 1956.
Oh, no.
That's a, you know, a meaner version of the Claw, I guess. No, it was a different comic company. Huh. Well, anyway. Molten Man Thing.
You're a Molten Man Thing.
That's just a funny name. Molten Man Thing.
I've given myself too much hard stuff to draw.
I'm sorry. That wasn't smart to do.
You sound like a character in like an Old West thing.
I did?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Let's see. What else is new?
I'm stressing. I'm wigging out, Crank.
I kind of am, too. I'm already slightly behind on my schedule for this month.
I'm just afraid that I will get behind. I can't get behind anymore now. Things are going to come crashing down on me.
Yeah, I've got a very delicate balance of shit right now this month. I haven't been like this crazy teeter-totter schedule in a couple of years. Mostly because I got more strict on my calendaring and scheduling and stuff, you know. But this month I said yes too many times. And that's those, so yeah, here's a freelance life type thing. Sometimes you should say no. And definitely if you think you're not going to make it, you should say no. But sometimes you should probably say no for your own health. I'm always scared that it's like growing up poor, you know? Like, if you don't know that your food's not going to be there, you kind of eat it all at once because it's there, you know? So, like, with freelance work, when you're not, like, steadily employed, actually employed by somebody, with insurance and benefits and rights to things, like, you know, notice of being fired and stuff, then, I don't know, I tend to fall into a mode where, like, as long as I think there's an outside chance I can get it all done, I'll take it on. I've had to say no to stuff before when I've been, like, crazy busy and stuff came up, and some of it I regret it later because it would have been fun to work on, but most of the time I like to say yes. Yes, Mike.
I don't tell you to do nothing.
Yes, Mike.
Get off my back.
Yes, Mike.
Oh, yes, your face.
Graviton!
Graviton?
Yeah, there was a Marvel character called Graviton.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
I should hope so. I'm looking at him now, drawn by Mark Bagley. Or was it Bagley? Is it Bagley?
It's Bagley. Yeah. It is Bagley.
That would make more sense because there's no whatever in there. Anyway. Exciting. On the 4th of July, Scott Snyder and Charles Soule posted a teaser thing for this new project coming up, which they're not actually going to tell anybody anything about until San Diego Comic-Con, which is coming up. Are you going to that?
No, I am not.
Oh, okay. I didn't think so, because I didn't see you. I figured if you would have been there, you would have been on the Albatross, like, signing schedule or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. I would have been.
And following that announcement, like, okay, I've been, you know, how do I want to say this? I've been really lucky in my Twitter lifetime to not really have any people I don't really like following me or messaging me or, you know, atting me or anything.
Hey, man, don't at me.
Exactly.
Don't at me, by the way.
Frank. I've gotten really lucky about that. But I checked in a little bit on Twitter after they posted that thing just to see what the response was. And yeah, there were fucking, like, you know, MAGA assholes and stuff like that in there.
What?
Like, responding to it. Bitching about...
MAGA assholes?
From just an... well, at least one that I saw. Two, actually. But, you know, bitching about how right off the bat, which was just from a teaser image, that they're not going to read this political bullshit about a wall.
Oh!
And stuff like that. Like...
That didn't occur to me.
I didn't either, for me, until I saw people bringing that up as a thing, and I'm like, really? And, I don't post on Twitter anymore, which is probably good, because I felt like saying, well, that's fine, don't buy it. seriously, we don't need your money. Like, which probably isn't something that anybody else would approve me saying, you know?
I need your money.
More than
but
that.
They're not going to like Battlepug anyway.
Well, that's the other thing. I checked Battlepug, or I checked Twitter last night, and there was some asshole talking about that backup story.
What?
The new backup story that you just posted images from.
Uh-huh.
And the artist said, hey, thanks, you know, and then somebody that knows the artist was like, hey, good job, you know, this is cool. And then somebody responded, nobody's going to read this like they read your racist trash, or something like that.
Pardon?
Responding to them. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's on the Twitter.
Saying that artist was racist, or that the page was?
I think they were saying that the person posting in support of the artist puts out racist stuff.
Weird.
Let's see, the exact quote was, no one will read it just like no one reads your racist shit.
On Twitter?
Yeah. So it was like,
I don't see any of that stuff.
Oh, I don't think you were added on it. I was added on it for some reason.
I don't see it.
But looking at it closer, it was...
This is the hardest I've ever looked to find something on Twitter. No, I take that back. I did a search for my old tweets a long time ago.
Well, looking at it closer, it's just somebody with a random, you know, number name. After a
sure,
John,
it always is.
After a John Smith. John Smith random number and...
Who's he replying to?
Ms. T.
Ms. T. Franklin?
Yeah. No.
Oh,
oh, and both of this person's tweets were to her, replying to her.
Saying, yeah, she doesn't have... She's got a lot of enemies. She rubs people the wrong way.
So, this person, I guess, is just a troll of some sort.
Yeah.
But, anyway... So this week's brought on the first time I've ever actually had to directly deal with.
I'm just more interested in trying to get people to read it and buy it.
Well, sure.
I don't care if they say terrible things about it.
I don't know if I care if they... I don't know. Yeah, I guess. It's just new for me. Novel.
I need them to buy my comic book. I've sent it out to several people to read and say something, but nobody's gotten back to me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
To say something for, like, pull quotes, or to say something for, like, feet?
Not pull quotes, just to, like, because it's, you know, it's in previews right now, and if they promote it, then maybe people will order it. I don't know how it works.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I got to do something, right?
Right, right.
So, I've sent it to a bunch of retailers. Trying to do my job, you know.
I hear you. And nobody said anything, huh?
No, Tom Snagowski is the only person that replied back that he really liked it.
Huh. Well, perseverance, my friend. Keep at it.
I got no choice but to.
Exactly. 100 Years Battle Pug.
The 100 Years Battle Pug? That sounds hard.
I was just paraphrasing Rick and Morty. But anyway.
That's what I'm doing.
I'm trying to figure out how to become better at promoting stuff I've worked on. Part of my hesitation with... I feel like if I start promoting one thing, I have to promote everything, but the volume of stuff I work on seems like it might get excessive to people reading my stuff, my posts or whatever, you know? Like, it might seem like all I'm ever doing is just promoting some book I'm working on, you know? But then if I pick and choose, it's like I'm singling stuff out, right?
Yeah, you're thinking about it too much.
Yeah, no one cares. Nobody cares that much. Like, anybody's posts.
Okay. So does it matter? Should I just do them all, or does it matter if I pick and choose?
Just do whatever you want.
Huh. That's tough.
Not really. We just gave you the answer.
Yeah, I feel like that's not right, though.
you're the enemy, then. I got no time for your neurosis.
I'm the enemy?
I did, like, 7 posts about Chewbacca. You can do whatever you want.
People post all the terrible, stupid stuff all the time. I wrote it into my Twitter bio that I tweet too much, so you better get over it.
Yeah, I should start tweeting again, too.
You don't have to do anything. I don't understand this.
Well, Twitter right now is the main accessible kind of meeting spot for people in our field, you know?
I don't know if that's true.
Well, where else would you go to interact with your other peers?
I don't know.
I mean, I refuse Facebook. Just out and out, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that. That's interesting.
And, you know, I mean, Twitter, at least, there's still like a signal-to-noise ratio to cut through, but at least there's a lot of people that are in comics on there that talk, you know, and not just yell at each other. Instagram, I like Instagram, but I don't really have conversations on Instagram. And I don't know that... Is there even possible to do that without it being really confusing?
I don't know, dude.
Me neither.
Momo's getting a movie.
Who?
Momo.
No! No Momo!
Yes!
No Momo!
What Momo?
No Momo. No Momo.
What Momo?
No, she's so nice.
No, Momo, it's not nice. Is Momo going to be scary or happy? You don't know. I'm scared of that.
What
that
Momo?
Terrifies me.
What is Momo?
Just look up Momo.
You have to look up Momo to understand Momo.
Oh, it looks like a Tim Burton character.
It does look like a Tim Burton character.
How dare you.
What is Momo supposed to be?
It was just a sculpture some dude made in Japan, and then people started spreading around a fake news story that it was like in kids videos on YouTube and telling kids to kill people, but that wasn't true.
Huh. So it was like a modern satanic panic or something.
For like 2 seconds.
Well, that's pretty much a cycle of everything nowadays. So, Momo.
That's what I call Mo.
Momo.
She ruined it for me.
Aw, Momo.
Mo's got lots of nicknames.
Slow-mo.
Slow-mo is one of them, yeah.
Aw, Slow-mo. Yeah, okay, well, so there's that. Have they made a Grumpy Cat movie?
Grumpy Cat died. And yes, they have made Grumpy Cat stuff.
All the more reason to have a Grumpy Cat movie if he's dead.
I think they were working on a Grumpy Cat movie, or they have done that.
But they did do a Grumpy Cat movie.
Okay, then they did.
What's her name? From Parks and Rec.
No, I didn't know.
Well,
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that information, dude. Why don't you just get off my back?
Okay.
Why are you on my case too, Crank?
What? I figure if I just go into Beavis and Butthead mode, you'll stop.
No.
Okay then. I don't even know. What else is new? Give me something.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm putting files together so that they can be colored so that you can letter them.
Well, good. That's always a good thing. We like.
Is it?
Getting the work done, man. That's the thing. The play is the thing.
Hopefully somebody will buy it. By the way, buy my comics.
Yeah.
No, you buy.
I'm not gonna buy your comics.
You don't even read them. You work on them.
Exactly.
You should read them.
What am I gonna do if I read them?
You could say how much you like them to me.
Mike, I like Battle Pug.
Right, you do.
I also like Baron Blitzkrieg.
What? No, you don't.
That's another bad guy.
Oh, I know who that is.
I don't think you do.
Does he wear black?
No.
Oh, then I guess I don't know.
In fact, he wears bright yellow and pink.
Whoa.
Well, sort of a magenta, I guess.
That's brave of Baron Blitzkrieg.
I'd say so, yeah. That's pretty impressive, really. I mean,
doesn't seem like something a Baron Blitzkrieg would wear.
Oh, and his gloves, underwear, and boots are orange.
That doesn't go together.
Sure, magenta, yellow, and orange. That's all sort of complimentary.
Not to the person wearing it.
Wait. Jason Todd was a bad man? Bad guy? Oh, he was Red Hood. Okay. Yes.
I didn't want to spoil it for everybody.
Isn't that really old?
Yes, that's the joke, dummy.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know, man.
Oh, wait. Jason Todd's dead.
I didn't want to spoil it for you.
Was he Red Hood before or after he died?
After. That was his big comeback.
Oh, okay.
His surprise that the Red Hood was Jason Todd.
So they didn't really kill Jason Todd.
No. They just fucked him up real bad.
Okay.
To the point that he's still not the same as he used to be.
Jason Todd was the one where they left it up to the fans whether or not he got killed, right? That was Death in the Family?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was a pretty fucked up move.
By humanity.
Just all the way around, you know? All right then. AmeriCop.
AmeriCop? That's a bad guy?
That was a Captain America bad guy in the mid-90s.
AmeriCop?
Yep.
Wow.
Bartholomew Bart Gallows. The AmeriCop.
Bart Gallows?
Yeah. The AmeriCop.
The AmeriCop?
He seems to essentially be of the Punisher.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sort of the,
when was he created?
Sort of the Punisher mixed with Maniac Cop. Let's see. 94. He was created by Grunwald and Hoover.
Grunwald was like, man, I wish I created Punisher.
But the name, though. AmeriCop. It sounds like a gas station or something, yeah.
gotta go get a soda at the AmeriCop.
Exactly. Oh, That reminds me, there's a channel called H&I, Heroes and Icons, that shows all... Yeah, they broadcast it on, like, over-the-air digital. I don't know if it's on, like, cable or...
It's owned by VTV people.
Is that owned by... Yeah, it might be.
Never heard of this.
It's just another one of those where they play reruns of old stuff, but it's all more, like, oriented towards, like, I don't know, A-Team and Pretender and stuff like that, you know, like, I guess action-y stuff, like,
mm-hmm.
But, so they've got a section, like, where, you know, like a lot of channels do, where they run blocks of theme stuff, but, this one's all, like, Hill Street Blues and stuff like that, like, you know, police shows and stuff, and they call it Cop Block.
Cop Block?
And I'm like, surely somebody has to realize what that sounds like, right? Like, why you cop...
That's probably why they're doing it.
Why you cop blocking me? You know?
Like, that's probably why they're doing it.
I don't... You think, like, they intentionally wanted it? Okay.
Sure.
That just seems like something they wouldn't want to do. Like, I don't... Yeah, so it's called the Cop Block.
That's fine.
And on that same channel, the reason I saw the commercial for the Cop Block was I turned the TV on while I was rolling some cigarettes, and it just came on. You know, I'd had that channel on last. This one came on, and I was landed in the middle of a two-parter of a TV show called Martial Law from the 90s.
Oh, with Bolo Young.
Bolo
Young, the Asian martial arts star.
No, I never saw Bolo Young in it. Not in this episode, anyway.
It's not a karate show?
It's a karate show, but I didn't see Bolo Young in it.
Yeah, Bolo Young was the star of it.
Hold on, I'm looking it up. It wasn't Bolo Young, though, I don't think. Bolo Young didn't have a cleft palate.
No, not Bolo Young. His name's Bolo, isn't it?
It's, I'm looking it up now, I'll tell you. His name is Sammo Kam.
Sammo Hung Bolo Young.
Yeah, Sammo Kamboi Hung. Yeah.
I got it mixed up. My fault.
But I'd never seen this show. I hadn't even heard of this show before.
Yeah, I watched it while it was on TV.
It was bizarre. Like, crazy over-the-top bad guy with a secret organization, like Lex Luthor plot to take over the world. Giant martial art, you know, lead hero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this dude was a big man, you know?
Yep.
He's a superstar in China.
Yeah, he was like, he's a Jackie Chan contemporary.
He worked with Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
On a bunch of movies, and directed some of Jackie's biggest movies.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And then, you know, like this weird, I don't know how to even like say it, because like the acting wasn't, the story, I couldn't take my eyes off this thing, off this two-parter. And it was like, the story was dumb, the acting wasn't good. It had some alright action stuff in it.
Well, if I remember correctly, Sammo could barely speak English in those episodes.
It was a lot like watching Jackie Chan, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, good enough, you know, he did alright with it. But it was just, like, crazy. Oh, he was he's a Chinese, like, opera person.
That must be how he met Jackie, then.
He's trained in acrobatics, martial arts, and dance.
Related but unrelated. Last night, I was flipping through channels, and I came across a show on CBS called Blood and Treasure.
Okay.
It's the biggest throwback I've seen in a long time on TV.
Really?
Is it new?
It's on a brilliant antiquities expert and a cunning art thief who team up to catch ruthless terrorists who fund attacks from stolen treasures.
Huh.
Whoa, that is a throwback.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like something from 1982.
But it's new? Like, current new?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Look at these leads.
Wow.
And what's this called again? Blood and Treasure?
Blood and Treasure. They're in a goddamn pyramid.
Nobody goes to pyramids anymore.
It's like... Indiana Jones and Tomb Raider in the same shot.
Oh, weird. It's going to be on CBS.
It is.
That's
on
what
CBS.
He just said.
I'm only catching parts of it because he's in the background.
Look at this shot. Holding a goddamn candle and reading a book. Old-timey movie.
Huh. Well, that's cool, I guess.
Look at the logo. It's got a fucking honk in it.
Are you seeing the image of the gun that's all made up out of, like, antiquities?
Yeah, yeah.
It's got, like, Egyptian stuff and, like, Eiffel Tower and...
Yeah, anyway, it's my favorite TV show now.
Dang!
This is also sort of reminiscent of that early 2000s, like, late 90s, early 2000s, you know, like, Cleopatra 2525 and stuff. And Jack of All Spades or whatever.
Yeah, the dialogue that I saw sounded like a 1998 live-action adventure show.
Weird.
Well, I guess there's a place for it.
I mean, we'll see if it goes on more than one season. So
from what I can tell, the episode I saw of this Martial Law was the finale.
Yeah. Oh, well, that would explain all the craziness in it.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense as to why it was so weird to just jump into, like, never having seen it before. Because it was pretty nuts, man. And if the rest of the show was like that, it would actually be kind of entertaining. Because it was like, it reminded me a lot of watching, you know, like, Chinese action flicks and stuff, you know? Like, where they've got weird characters and things, strange comedy thrown in and stuff like that. Like, it's never played, like, completely straight, it seems like.
Sorry to interrupt you again.
Sure.
The card has a dog.
The what?
The dog's color has a fucking Star Trek symbol on it.
The card has a pit bull.
What?
He said the card has a pit bull. I guess in the new show.
Oh, that's right. They're bringing him back for something, right?
Yeah. He's got business to take care of. Wine business. That's his new catchphrase.
Is that his real dog? Because he's got a pit bull.
Does he?
That's what I'm coming up with, yeah.
Oh.
Someone just checked his wine.
He fosters a pit bull. That's what it is. So, alright. I guess we're probably done there this week for the thing.
Are we?
I guess so.
Cool.
Do we have email?
Let me look, Jesus.
Perchance?
Get off my back and let me look.
Okay, well, there's stuff in stores this week, surely.
You're always on my case.
Oh, there is stuff in stores, actually. Baltimore Rivas, I don't know how to say his last name, Rivas?
Who?
Baltimore Rivas? R-I-V-A-S? Shut
who
up.
Is that?
Hush up and let me talk.
Well, who is that?
He's the artist of this book with Cullen Bunn and Kyle Starks called Unearth That I Am Littering. But I don't know how to say his last name. I think it's Rivas? But I'm not sure. Either way, that's in stores this week. Unearth number one. And I can't remember who colored it. Crap. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, number one's in stores this week.
Is Grumble in stores this week?
Looking now.
Eric just sent me a photo of the trade, so I guess that turned out.
Nope, I don't see any Albatross stuff in stores this week.
Hmm. Well, I'm starting a rumor that they're going out of business then.
No.
No, it's too late. I already started it. I'm sure he'll be mad at me about it.
Hey, dude. No?
Probably shouldn't do that, should I?
No. No, Mike. No.
Okay. I won't.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just scrolling through a list. I also know there's that Shots Fired on Kickstarter. It's an anthology that's, you know, promoting...
Oh, that's out?
No, that's it, getting near its completion. Mm-hmm. So I'm just reminding, you know, people that it's out there. It's called Shots Fired. It's on Kickstarter. It's an anthology promoting awareness of gun violence. And, you know, got a lot of cool stuff in it. I'm helping them out and lettering a few things. all proceeds. Yeah. I'm trying to remember who the organization is, but all proceeds go to an organization that's also about promoting awareness of gun violence and helping people out and stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't remember what the name of the organization is off the top of my head because I'm terrible at remembering this stuff. Oh, I need to get better, don't I?
There's this ad that we keep getting over and over again on Ottoman or one of the streaming services. And it's just this dad and his son. And he's like making his son breakfast. And then the dad goes into the kitchen. And then you just hear the kid off screen go, "Dad, do we have a gun?" And then the dad looks horrified and it just ends. And you're like, "Okay." And I've seen it about 50 million times. And so it's such a weird ad.
That's creepy. Kind of effective, though, I would think. I mean, effective at being creepy, anyway. Huh.
We don't have any email.
Okay. Image Comics publishes a book called Go Gore!
I like the art on that book.
What'd you say?
I like the art on that book.
I like the name. Go Gore! Oh, is it a giant monster book? I guess.
Oh.
The cover looks cool. Let's see. Going past Image. Yeah. None of us. Oh, yeah. Man, Unearth, obviously. Part of it is, too, I don't really know what all people I know work on, or else I would promote more of their stuff, too, but kind of hard to like push stuff when I a lot of the stuff I just don't read. I don't read a lot of the like superhero-y stuff, so I don't know who's working on what anymore. Well, I mean, to be fair, I haven't read a whole shit ton of comics anyway lately. Oh, from Oni Press, Emmeline Knight in Training, or is it Emmeline? I don't know. That's a hardcover. It's a sort of a nice little fantasy set story, but its thing is that it's. Dyslexia friendly. I actually had to letter it in a font that was built for being more readable to dyslexics.
What?
Yeah. I think it skews more towards younger readers.
That font's kind of neat. It's like kind of wobbly in a weird way.
Yeah, it was really strange.
How does it work?
You mean how does it work to make it easier to read, or how did it work?
Yes, that's what I meant.
The are just designed in a way that your eyes have an easier time not flipping them.
Yeah, apparently the basics for type that's easier for them to read is that it should be like monospaced. There should be like a certain amount of space in the kerning and stuff to keep things legible. In this particular font, they like weight the descenders in the lower ends of you know, the baseline of the font, I guess to anchor it more, or to make the characters not flip and stand out more for people with dyslexia. So, I don't know. It was kind of weird working with it, because it's not really built for the kind of, you know, type stacking you have to do in comics. So that was kind of strange, but hopefully it worked. Because, you know, I mean, it was a cute enough little story and stuff, and like I said, I think it's skewed more towards younger readers, but it was kind of interesting working on a project like that, because it's not something, you know, I'd normally have to deal with or anything. As far as I know, I'm not dyslexic. So, yeah, there's that. That's Emmeline, Knight in Training. And it's a hardcover. Very nice presentation.
If you do say so yourself, then you do!
And I did.
Shush.
Ha.
Stop it.
All right. So, I think that's it this week. I don't see anything else there, so. Yay, comics!
Mm-hmm.
We like comics. We hope you like comics, too. Go buy our comics. And with that, have a good weekend. We bid you adieu.
Adieu.
To you and you and you and you and you.
Adieu.
Okay.
Adieu.
Yes.